26173. May it please the court, counsel. I'm here today on behalf of Johnny Edwards. I will tell the court straight up that I was also the trial counsel in this matter. And this appeal, like the trial itself, is kind of very simple and brief, because I believe there's really only one issue that we're talking about here. It's a sufficiency of the evidence case. And it boils down to whether or not the state was able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Johnny Edwards knowingly escaped. Now, Mr. Edwards was on ISP parole at the time, which requires that the state first prove that he knew the extended limits of his confinement and that he knowingly violated those limits. Again, this was a very brief trial. It was over in a day and a half. There was only a handful of witnesses, and the bulk of the testimony came from the parole officer, Officer Joe Brady. And what is conspicuous by its absence in this case is that Mr. Brady, while he testified that he went over a set of parole directives with Mr. Edwards, kind of a standard set of forms that he goes over with all of his clients, he did not, he could not explain why specifically the curfew piece of the parole directives was not acknowledged in writing by Mr. Edwards, and that nowhere else in the set of parole directives was curfew ever set out or explained. Now, that was basically all the evidence that the people put on as to the curfew requirement, which is specific and required in this case, because this is not a situation where he escaped from a facility. He was out and about, and the extended limits of his confinement were his curfew and where he was supposed to be during that hour, during those hours. Furthermore, a residence of record, as is talked about in the cases I cited in my brief, was never officially established in Mr. Edwards' case. So when it came down to the people closing their evidence, what the court denied my motion for judgment of acquittal, but basically what the people provided at that stage of the game, and Mr. Edwards did not testify, so that was essentially the end of the case, was that we had a parole officer who had met with him, but we had no explanation of why the curfew requirement was never actually established in writing.
Is it your position that in order to sustain a conviction, you have to have provisions actually acknowledged in writing?
It is, Your Honor.
So oral testimony to the effect of, I explained it to him, he knew about it, would be insufficient?
It might be insufficient, and I think it was insufficient in this case, because specifically Officer Brady did not tell the jury why the curfew requirement was not acknowledged.
Why isn't that a question of just simple weight, whether or not, you know, to believe the parole officer as to whether or not he had adequately explained the curfew and the residence requirements?
Well, Your Honor, I think in this case, because the only evidence they had about the extended limits of confinement would be two pieces, you know, in order to establish it, it would have to be when he was supposed to be there and where he was supposed to be there. And certainly it is an issue of weight, but there was no other testimony or evidence presented about curfew other than this parole directive that was not initialed, because Mr. Brady could not specifically remember the conversations he had regarding curfew other than to say, yes, I discussed it, I discuss it with everybody. But in Mr. Edwards' case, it was not initialed. And one of the reasons he got into trouble is because when the parole officer came by his house at the specified times, he wasn't there. So he was deemed to have escaped. And it's just, there was very limited evidence on where he was supposed to be and when he was supposed to be there. And in my reading of the record and sitting through the trial, it did not seem like it was proof beyond a reasonable doubt, certainly sufficient to sustain a conviction when it wasn't ever even spelled out in the first place.
In terms of the residence of record, my understanding is that the parole officer showed up at the last residence that the defendant had provided, and he wasn't there, and there was an eviction notice on the door.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Why isn't that a violation of the residence of record, almost under any definition, where the last known address he shows up to, and he's not there?
Well,
he's moved.
It is sort of one half of the pie, so to speak. I mean, he wasn't there. There was an eviction notice, but we have no way of knowing how long he wasn't there. I mean, Mr. Brady could not provide an explanation of, you know, where else he might have been. And, you know, again, I have to go back to the fact that the hours when he was supposed to be there were never clearly established. So I think that leaves a lot of room for doubt, because he came during the daytime hours when Mr. Edwards could have been at work, he also visited in the evening. But one of the reasons why the curfew was never nailed down in this case was because Mr. Edwards works on big engines for trucking companies, and he had sporadic hours. So again, Mr. Edwards' contention is that, you know, according to the case law, which I've cited in my brief, there are some requirements for ISP, and that is there's got to be a residence of record, which is clear and acknowledged. There's got to be also curfew, which is clear and acknowledged. Otherwise, the extended limits of confinement, that phrase is meaningless if someone doesn't know where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there. And I don't feel that there was sufficient evidence presented on that point, which goes to his knowledge. And we are asking for a reversal of his conviction.
Eight minutes and 11 seconds if you want it for rebuttal.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Rebecca Adams. My registration number is 31044, and I represent the people of the state of Colorado. This is a sufficiency of the evidence case, which means that this court reviews this de novo, and the evidence must be viewed in the light most favorable to the people. So if there is evidence upon which the jury may reasonably infer an element of the crime, the evidence is sufficient to sustain that element. Now here the defendant is arguing that there was not sufficient evidence that he knowingly escaped from the extended limits of his confinement. However, we have evidence both in the exhibits that were presented as well as the testimony of the parole officer that the defendant was advised both of the residency requirement as well as the curfew requirement, and he was aware that if he violated those conditions that he would be charged with escape. The parole officer testified that he explained these conditions to the defendant, that the defendant understood the conditions, and that the defendant knew that he would be charged with escape if he did not comply with those conditions. This evidence is sufficient to support the defendant's convictions for escape. Now, the defendant seems to make much of the fact that the paragraph was not initialed talking about the curfew. However, while the curfew paragraph was not initialed, that's not fatal to the claim here, or to the conviction here. The parole officer testified that he discussed this requirement with the defendant and that the defendant understood. Additionally, there were other exhibits signed by the defendant, including exhibit number 3, where the defendant did acknowledge that he must spend every night in his residence of record. There was also exhibit number 7, which talked about the defendant's residence of record. That was in writing. And when the parole officer went to the defendant's residence of record, he did go during curfew hours, and the defendant was not home. There was an eviction notice on the door, and the apartment was empty. In addition, the defendant had failed to show up for a scheduled meeting and was no longer responding to pages through the paging program that he was also a part of. As a result, the prosecution presented sufficient evidence to support the defendant's escape conviction. If the court has no further questions, I would ask that this court affirm the defendant's conviction.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. I thank you, counsel, then, for your arguments. The case will stand submitted.